Okay, so welcome to the new CMS in town, namely Orchard. My name is, let me see, okay. My name is Christian Ernst. I work for Ordina as a software engineer. I'm a Microsoft MySQL professional, ASP insider, and I'm also very active in the community world, being a board member for the Azure.ba, the Windows Azure user group in Belgium. Besides that, I'm also very busy on ASP.NET forums and Stack Overflow, so you can always send me a private message over there, or you can get into contact via my Twitter. So first a bit of what's going on for today. Let me just grab this video and put it aside. Okay. I can do it like this. Okay, I can close it. Okay, thanks. So first of all, what is Orchard? A bit of history. Let's just install the basics. Then go over some basic concepts which are handy to get over it. Then some themes. Then I'm going to talk a bit about modules. And of course, there's always a round of questions. And I got some pretty nice announcement to make for the people living in Belgium and abroad. So let's get started. First of all, Orchard is actually based on ASP.NET MVC 3. So if you're already fluent with that, this is going to be a breeze. Also, if you're not interested in Orchard, I don't really see a reason why, but I still urge you to take a look at the source code, because really there are some very shiny stuff in there. And, well, we're not going to go too deep in that, so I'm going to leave that up to the attendees to take a closer look at a very bright source code. But it's a gem. Take a look at it. You will be surprised. Orchard can actually be used to quickly create a small and medium website. And it's very focused on modular extensions. And really, modules rock. There are more and more coming every day, and we're going to look also at modules today. Besides that, it's free, so everybody likes some free stuff, and it's also open source since recently. So even though that Microsoft invested a lot of time and people in it in the beginning, nowadays it's a part of the OuterCurve Foundation. So it's perfectly free. You can grab the code, you can mangle it up, you can resend it. Everything's possible with that. And of course, because it's open source and people from Microsoft are turning away a bit, they're looking for actually community and a contribution. So if you think like, wow, this is really cool stuff, please contribute. There are already a lot of contributions, as we will see, but we can always use more people. Well, everything has to start somewhere, and so is the same for Orchard. So it started all in November 2009, and it was almost like a year of incubation time at Microsoft, sometimes some public releases. But only it was in January of this year that actually became version 1. It quickly grew and got some adoption, and at this moment we're already at version 1.3, and I don't know exactly the time date for 1.4, but I'm really looking forward to those few features. But I hope it's going to be for the end of this year. It's quite easy to install. You can actually grab the source code from codeplex.com. You can use the web platform installer, which is also a free tool from Microsoft. You can use another cool stuff like WebMatrix, or if you're more into the full source code and want to contribute, then I suggest that you go for Mercurial. So you can, for example, I took one over here today, this morning. So this is through Mercurial, and it's perfectly the source safe. Personally, I'm more a fan of WebMatrix, so I'm going to use that tool today. So, I started up WebMatrix. I'm going to the App Gallery. I'm going to the CMS Systems. And from there, I can choose Orchard. So, let's choose, be brave, and choose number 13. Simply accept. It's now getting installed, configured, and soon we'll hit the finish. Okay. What has happened here is just that the flowchart itself got downloaded to my system, and this is actually only it. It's like 26 megabyte unzipped, so it's not really that big, but still already fully functional. If I now press F12, I can already start it. And first I'm going to choose some a name for the site, and let's call it Microsoft Live Meeting Demo, for example. Give it a password for the admin. And here I can opt for either SQL Server Compact or an existing SQL Server database. Or, for example, SQL Azure if you want to, because Orchard can also be deployed on Azure. I like the default of SQL Server Compact, and I'm going to choose the default recipe. Recipes are actually nothing more than an XML-based form of exporting my data, and later on, if you want to create another website based on another recipe, you can make use of that one. You can, if you're only interested in blogging capabilities of Orchard, you can make use of the blog recipe, or if you only really want the core business, you can opt for core. I personally want to go for the default now. And here I got a nice clean UI, I'm saying it's cooking up. Would be cool for the version next if there was going to be like a cooker stirring in some pot or something, really cooking a recipe. Okay, so here's the title that I gave in at first screen, and this is actually Orchard being open and running as an admin mode. So you see here these little carrots over here. I can edit these. I get a nice welcome message over here. I can sign out. And I can go to the dashboard. The dashboard is actually the admin part of my Orchard. So here I can create new pages. I can start up a blog if I want to. I can see my comments, some widgets, some media like images or something. I can create new users, some reports. So it got cleanly set up today, November 8th. And I can choose some other things, like for example, the settings and such. We'll go further in that during the demo. So we just did the demo of the installation. But first, a bit of concepts. The C in CMS stands for content. So actually, all stuff that we're going to see in Orchard is actually content being managed by a system, and the system being Orchard itself. So first we have a content item, some single piece of content like a blog post or a product or an event. Or then we have a type. Consider it like being a class template for an object, and then the content item being an object. A content part, which is actually a combination of content types together into a group. And then the content field. It's just a piece of information which can be added to a content type. As I already told them in the beginning, Orchard is really made up about modules. It's very extensible, but at the basis is the module. So Microsoft has created a full gallery, and apparently the links in my PowerPoint don't work in live meeting. Cool, I didn't know that. Lessons learned for next time. okay. Some other basic concepts is about UI composition. Everything in Orchard itself is really, is it fully readable? Or, okay, I'm just asking Katrien, because otherwise I'm click on Zoom it. Okay, so during the session what we're going to see, and I'm going to lay out more about that, is actually it all begins with the theme for the layout. It's a general layout. It can be packaged, it can be deployed, it can be grabbed, it can be reused in other Orchard installations. That makes use of a layout. Then we have the template, so the forming of the data. That puts it in a shape, which is actually nothing more than the information. Then we also have placement, because, well, Orchard, just because due to the dynamic nature of the CMS, it tries to place everything where it wants. But most likely you want to place something somewhere else, so you can also override such things. Orchard also, the themes also work with zones, and I'm going to show that very quickly. Then we also have widgets, which is actually nothing more than a reusable small fragment of UI stuff. And you can also put these in layers. You can see that, like, for example, Adobe Photoshop, that you can hide or show layers. And we can also do some funny stuff with that. But I'll show you that later on. Okay. So, oh yeah, that's right. My links don't work in live meeting. Sorry about that. But we'll see them soon. Well, there are different ways to go for themes. So either you can go for the gallery, because there's already a lot of people who created and uploaded their very nice work. I have some nice examples. Or we can go to this website, where we can create our own look and feel. If I can... No, okay. I'll see if I can get that up in the browser. Or we can create our own, which is what I'm going to try to do. Let's share back to the desktop. Okay. So this is the main website, orchard.net. And here we can go to the gallery. As you can see, there are already quite some downloads. We have several packages, like in the beginning, like in January of this year, it used to be like 40. And now it's already 557, and each day more and more are coming in, which is cool. Here we have a lot of very nice modules already, but what I'm more interested in about now is the themes. So here I can see already a lot of themes which already been shared, at this moment already 63. And one that I saw yesterday evening is this Mango. Feels a bit like, well, the Metro look and feel. Personally, I like it. Most likely, I'm going to upgrade my blog with this theme. So, it's pretty cool. If you think, okay, perhaps it's not what I want, I can go to, and I believe the website is Intuit. So let me see if I can grab this. It's tuning.bind.pt. I always have a problem trying to remember that specific name. So, no, okay. Let's just do a Bing search. It always works.
It's tuning.bind.pt.
Okay. So for a very small price, I can buy here a very cool looking Orchard theme. And I can also customize things. Like, for example, let's go for this eShop. Orchard 1.x. And I can start customizing things. Like, for example, I can choose another palette, other colors. Pretty cool. And then I can pay for it. Cool. Because I already set up my Orchard over here. I can also go to the theme gallery from within my Orchardtum installation itself. So I told you guys I like that mango stuff. I didn't test it before, so I'm just curious what it's going to give. But it looks pretty nice, so I'm just going to try it. It should be now installing, okay. Takes a bit to download to my everything and to unzip it. And it takes a bit of a while apparently, so. Okay, I'm already going to start up the next part. Because if I want to create a new team, there's actually something very interesting, but before that I also need to install a module. Let's first see. Okay. In the meantime, my team got installed. I can go to the install team and I can say set current. If now go back to the website, I can see already that looks pretty cool. Of course, at this moment I only have a home page, so I'm going to quickly do something about that. Just let's log in again and go to the dashboard. And let's say, for example, I create a new web page. And let's call that about. So you see already the URL gets automatically created over here. And we can also give some text to it. So, comma separated. And let's put it on the main menu so that I get an extra feature over there. And let's say publish now. Okay, it has been created. So I get now the about page. Here, look. My tags are coming through. So whenever I would choose for everything which is can be tagged, and I would choose for a certain tag, everything would come up. So I can also make choices about that, if I want something to be tagged, yes or no. But we wanted to go for our own team. So to do that, because we can also make cascades of other teams. In the default is the theme machine, which comes by default. This is the admin site. This is some safe mode backup. And this is actually the theme that we just downloaded. So it's actually all under the themes folder and always has the same kind of structure. What I'm going to do now to create a theme, because first I need to install an extra module, namely code generation, because due to the recipe that I chose in the front, and here it already is, because apparently it's the most downloaded extra module. Let's install that quickly. This code generation already gives the power to developers to start creating new modules, new themes, enable features, and well, it takes a bit longer than I expect. I think a lot of people already now downloading just Orchard or something, I don't know. Must be something like that. Okay, cool. Let's see if everything is enabled. Okay. So these are all the modules that I got installed at this moment, and I can either enable or disable them. Also, sometimes you can see that it depends on other modules. So whenever you want to enable something, you also have to make sure that all the other modules are also enabled. I already opened here my website, And in the bin subfolder, I just shift right click and I say open command window here. And then I can type in orchard. Most likely it's going to give them some error looking statement. And that's because I'm still running, yeah, like this. That's because I'm still running my website. So it tries to fix on the stream process. But don't worry, I can still do everything that I want. So you see, if I type in help commands, there's already a lot of stuff going on that I can do. So I can set cultures, I can enable or disable features, I can create layers, menu items, I can package stuff. Really, this is orchard development at heart. There are also other modules which actually expand it even more, so even more commands come into play. Do it with the default stuff, I can already do what I like to do. Okay, so let's see how everything looks. So this is the stuff that I need to type in, and the reason why I always go for the help, because I always seem to forget the based on, I always make it base team for some reason. Most likely because it's going to be cascading of something else. So let's go for cogen team, and then based on, and the default is called the theme machine. And sorry, I forgot to give it a decent name. I was so focused on the based on. Okay, wow, succeeded. So now where does it come to live? Of course, as you would expect, it comes here in the teams. And if I go to my website and go to the teams folder, I can see that's actually sitting here. So let's set that as a current one. And at this moment, it actually looks the same like the original one because it's based on that. But because I like this theme because it has a lot of zones. The zones, by the way, can be looked up on here. Sorry. So I have a lot of zones over here, like header, navigation, the content where most of your actually pages and such come. These are those three blocks at the bottom, which you can see here. So these are those zones. And as you can see, it's pretty cool to place a lot of stuff on that theme. That's why I like it so much. If now I want to customize things, I can just open this up and go to refresh it. I can now start on creating new styles. Let's, for example, say my custom style, styles, okay. Let's grab, let's see if I got here some assets. No. Let's open this up like this. Put this in, and within the content time folder, I'm going to add an existing file, and let's copy paste in this. So this is going to be used as a background in my header. I got some extra branding, some extra overrides in my thing. Let's go back to the website, do a control F5. And nothing much seems to be happening. And the reason for that is because I didn't already put over the layout, because actually we put them in a certain CSS file, but we didn't actually say our theme, this is the new CSS file that we're going to be using on top of the original one. So the original one is sitting here, site.css, but in the view, I'm going to copy over this layout file, and I'm going to put it here in New York theme. And I paste it here. So this is actually where all my zones, like for example, as you can see here, so this is my header, and all zones are declared in here. Here I can also put in style.include my new theme, which I called my custom styles.css. Does it come over? Okay, no. Copy paste this. CSS. And let's take a look at what gives now. Press F12 again. And look. As you can see, I'm a bit design challenged. I'm a developer, so but I try to already make up nice looking stuff. So as you can see, it's pretty easy to start creating new themes. And if you're a better designer than me, hopefully you are, then you can make up some very cool stuff, and you can also put it in the gallery for others to download and admire. So please do so, because we like another choice, another that you give us. Let's close this one. Okay, how are we doing on time? Well, pretty good. The next thing that I'm going to create is actually new types of content, because, well, we have some pages, and that's pretty nice, but we want some new stuff also. So I can create a blog, because, well, you noticed in the beginning that we had to that I chose the default recipe, but we can also go for blogs. And everybody likes the blog nowadays, so I can create a new blog, my blog. I can show it on the main menu. And I can start creating new blogs. So, new blog posts, sorry. So, here I can create and I can also give it a tag over here. And I can also allow new comments, so people can also start commenting on what I want or what I wrote. If you don't really like that people start spamming your stuff, well, nowadays it happens too much, and that's also one of the reasons why I want to upgrade from my older blog engine to Orchard soon, is that I can also go to, either I can see here all the comments in one very handy screen, or I can also go to the settings, and I can state comments must be approved before they appear. So first they come in that list that I just showed you, and then I can manually say, yeah, I like this post, or it's just some stupid spam, and I just get rid of it. Or I can also enable spam protection. This is through the Akismet service. I don't have a personal key for it, but if you do have, or your company has one, you can make use of that. So for the moment, I'm going to turn this off. Let's see if my blog got in. Okay. And now to get to my RSS feed, because this is also very dynamic. You can never always never make up which is going to be in the address. So for example, now it's container ID, and this is due to the dynamic nature of Orchard. So sometimes it can be 8 or sometimes 5. For me now it's 16. If you don't really like that, that's perfectly possible. You can also make use of URL rewriting modules in IIS and go for that and make some fancier rule. But what I want to try is to connect to a very nice tool from Microsoft. It's called Windows Live Writer. I think most of you already know about it. And I only need to give this, fill in the password. Yes, I want to remember. And this is not good. Sorry, this must be my blog. This is the first time that I actually see this, but let's try it over. Because this morning when I was rehearsing things, it actually still worked. Okay, this is awkward. Let's try it again later on, but. Very good, Catherine. Wow. I forgot to turn on a specific feature. And this is here in the modules.
So indeed, as you were saying, because you have all these different modules and features, it's just enabling, disabling.
Yeah, indeed.
Indeed, to activate, for example,
XML RPC.
Exactly.
Yeah, indeed. Okay. So you can see it's already protected out of the box. And well, if you go for other recipes, you can also have things turned on by default.
Okay.
So, yeah. That's always because I also here have the remote publishing, which I have to enable. And now it should be good to go. Let's just try that. Let's give it one more try. Other service. And no, still not good. Ah, okay, great. I copy-pasted in the different the incorrect URL, sorry. Okay, let's call it my blog. And you see, I already have downloaded on my team, so... And I could also, for example, insert some things. Let's see, I've been to Paris this year, so that's always nice to share a picture about that with friends and family. Wow, and I got it. In the meantime, where did the image end up? This is in the media folder. So here I got a new folder, Windows Live Writer, and the blog post, and here are the images that I just uploaded. Very handy, because I can also make use of this and start embedding things. Okay, we showed you the blogging. What if I want to create something like a list, something like events or something? Well, we can also do that, because at this moment we only made some very nice pages, but a bit dull pages. We also made a blog, but perhaps we also want to have a bit more interaction. So let's create here a new content type, and let's call that event. And I want to have comments on it. It should be containable. The containable is just because we want to put it in a list. Let's say we want to have a route, tags. Yeah, I think that looks good for the moment. Okay, we got that now. Now we're going to create a list. And it's going to contain an event. And we don't want to have these events on the date created, but date published. And let's do it ascending. Let's call it my events. And even now choose look. Here we also got our new type, so we can now create an event. We add it to the list of events. Well, it's called Ibiza Party. So I can give it a nice tag. I allow new comments and I can publish it now. I can create a new event and say nightlife in Beirut. And I can publish that now. So here I got a new menu, my events, and nothing's coming up, which is pretty awkward. Actually, it's not awkward because I didn't specify anything. I can go here to my event and add an extra field, sorry, extra part, and let's give that a body. Okay, finally. I can type in here something like let's go to rock. And party in Ibiza. Okay, so here we got them. But, well, perhaps not everyone knows where Beirut lies, or Ibiza. Well, Ibiza is probably more known to Europeans than Beirut. So I want to give it an extra map. I would like to integrate Bing Maps now, and I'm going to create a custom module for that. So yet again, I can do this through the code generation. Let's call that my maps or my maps implementation. Okay, let's go for this one, which now gets generated in under the modules folder. Let's go down here. These are my maps. Okay, everything is jumping up and down, which is already in here. So actually what gets generated is now a project which you can open in, for example, Visual Studio. Here is some information for the module itself. Here we can place a models folder or a views, which we can make them for the interaction. And I think we're going to run a bit out of time, so I'm going to pop on in a module which I already created up front and just make some further explanations on that. Let's see here, I got this. So I'm just copying over this folder. It's called My Maps Implementation. And let's just open this in WebMatrix because it gives some more nice features like colorization. Let's refresh this, okay. So here's my modules. So I created here some very nifty description. And let's say the category is location. These are the two views that I need. So under parts, okay, I try to copy paste something. So here I got some Razor syntax CHTML. So you can immediately see if you're already used to making sites with ASP.NET MVC3, this is just like a snap. The editor template is, of course, for the administrative part. So here we're just making some for making the CRUD operations. Here you can also put some styles, some scripts. But the most important to start here is in our modules. So first we need to create a map record, and we need to make this virtual. The reason for this is because behind the scenes, nHibernate is being used in Orchard. And nHibernate needs to create the possibility to create proxies, and as such, these need to be virtual. This is nothing more than the part, actually the part that we're going to add to our locations. We're going to say which fields are required. So I want a latitude, longitude, and a zoom level. In the handler, which actually can be seen as being like a filter in ASP.NET MVC 3. And also here you see the filters add. And here we're making the repository hanging up. Because we need some controllers, we're not going to call them controllers because, well, we can also put them over here, but in Orchard it's called a driver. This is actually nothing more than the display. And here are the parts for the editing, for the editor, and again for the post. So just to get them, to get all the data for the administrative part, and here this is for the showing. Another interesting part to take a look at is the migration. Because in the beginning we should create our database, and in the migrations, which is a convention over configuration approach, like practically everything else in Orchard. Also, there's a lot of dependency injection going on, thanks to AutoFAC behind the scenes. So everything gets generated for you. So I simply create this code, this first create method. So here the table gets created, some columns, latitude and longitude, and we return one. Later on, if you want to create updates for a module, which is not very unlikely, because I also did it right here, we start a new method, and we say update from one. And this is exactly this one. Of course, here we return two, and here we update from two. Here you can see that I create an extra column in my database. And here I'm going to create it. This is my part. That should also be a widget. And we're going to add some common parts on it, because otherwise we cannot really show it. And let's see, because, well, for the people who noticed, I didn't really compile something. And that's pretty cool, because actually Orchard, you can just pop on in, even in a live implementation, you can just pop on in a certain amount of code, so just like this, and it gets automatically compiled in the background. So if you mistype something, and trust me, it happened to me when you're trying something with Notepad, and you forget parentheses or something, it just shows you a big fat error. So it gets compiled dynamically, which is one of the powerful things in Orchard, in my opinion. Let's see if I can find this new module. Let's refresh this. And here I got my maps, which is, sorry, the my maps implementation. This is the module that I created via the code generation. It was uncategorized, and I gave it in the modules.txt. I gave it this category, location, and that's why it ends up here in this place. So now I can enable it. Cool. And now I can create a page, for example, or I can add it to a page. So I'm going to alter the content type of which is going to be displayed on a page. I can create here the add parts. I can add a map. And now on every page, if all goes well, we're going to see a map. Not really that very cool. What can we do here? Because when I change this, some of the page content type, I created some, I changed it for every type. But I only wanted to have it on the map displayed on the About Us page. So I'm going to take another approach. I'm going to edit the type again. I'm going to remove it from here. Let's save this. Quickly make sure that everything is okay. Okay. Cool. And now I'm going to work because I upgraded my module to a widget, so I can place it here in the layout. But because I only wanted to have it on one specific page, I'm going to create a new layer. Remember the layers like in Adobe Photoshop? I'm going to call this the About layer. And here I can create a layer rule. So here I'm going to say only display it if you're on the About page. As you can see here, I see all those modules from other layers too. I'm going to switch this one off. And now on my About layer, I don't have any specific widget I'm already standing on. And let's say here in the After content, I want to show a map. Let's give it a latitude and a longitude. Where are we going to be? Let's quickly look somewhere on Bing. We are located in Brussels. Ah, one thing that I should do, because due to the nature of my configuration of my PC, I know that with commas and dots, sometimes it might go wrong, so I'm going to set here the globalization to being US specific, just to make sure that I don't end up with localization problems. Here we go. So I create here the latitude, I take the longitude, and the zoom level, let's make that like 9 perhaps. Should be okay. Let's keep that in. I changed my web.config, so it takes a while. Okay, map record. And now I don't have a fancy map over here anymore. But I should, drum roll, have one here, and look, we're located in Brussels. Cool. Well, I told you up front that with layers, we can also do some funny stuff. So, for example, I'm now logged in. And with those rules that you saw on my widgets here, I go back to the About layer. I could say, for example, only if you're authenticated, and the URL is this one, only then you get to see the map. So now I get to see the fancy map, and if I sign out, I don't anymore. So you see, with those rules and layers and widgets, you can create a very handy and very fancy website. So there's also a lot of user management already baked into Orchard, which is pretty cool. And I urge you to really look it out. There's very nice documentation. Sometimes it takes a bit of documentation just to get used to it. And I know some parts are sometimes a bit strange in the beginning, but once you start getting deeper and deeper in it, it really looks pretty cool. And it really becomes interesting, and you start playing more and more with it and trying to figure out stuff. So, well, if this didn't convince you already, I still got another very fancy module that I want to show you. And it's for designers. So I can install this one. Let's close this Bing Maps. If you want to go to the documentation, Well, this is still okay, it's getting installed. So you see there's a lot of information going on about Orchard. You can also go to discussion lists, you can contribute, and these discussion lists are really helpful. And actually it's amazing to see how many people, even the people from Microsoft, are constantly on the forums trying to help one another out. You can also look at bugs, whatever, or file bugs, whatever. And of course, if you can spare some free time, please contribute to the main core, to the main code source. Okay, so I got this one up and running. Let's go here. And this is what people like to call Firebug for Orchard. Wow, look at this. So now I can move over all these parts. I can see which shape they have. I can create alternatives. I can see which model it is, which data is installed. So for example, the body over here. So this is the part that we pass on through the model. And if you want to create something else, we can make use of this model and have that display, have that information displayed over there. This placement over here is not really, let me see if I can find something more useful to some to explain the placements. Okay, and this is the HTML which gets generated in this part. Let's click this away and go, for example, to my events and say, for example, I want to have this date. Let's see what this is. Sorry, this is the shape. So this is actually the name over here. And for example, I want to now override it, but this doesn't show anymore. I can go to my teams and change in the New York team that I'm using here. I got the placement.info. So with this placement info, I can make some overrides. Let's say, for example, and the dash, sorry, should be in between the quotes. It should not appear anymore over here. So if I now, let's click this way, let's refresh this. And now the date over here is gone. But if I go to the event itself, it's still here. So with these placement files, I can start overriding where the default placement of Orchard, well, where it tries to place something, depending on the zone or the team or whatever, it's, which is already in, remember the pyramid in my slides. So everything is like an override on top, but with a placement file, we can either show or hide or try to place something like a certain part of content, and we can try to put it somewhere else. So in this small example, because we're running a bit out of time, I see. Yeah, okay, cool. I can put these things away. Okay. I got here another website, which I prepared a bit up front. So here I also got these events. Also created a very nice share bar over here. And instead of the standard date, I create another date over here. The date when it's going to be, actually. So how did I do that? I first added to the content type I added an extra field of the type DateTime field, which is actually also a module that you have to install upfront. Because by default, it only Orchard only knows a text field, but there are more and more fields coming up. I also saw, like for example, a YouTube field, so you can paste in a YouTube movie, which is pretty handy. And then I created in this placement file. Ah, here it still is. So I put the stars, which are these ones. I put these at the bottom. So I gave them here the content and position 15. And then, because I only wanted to hide the date, so this is the date time that we just let disappear due to the dash. But I only wanted to have it on the content type of event. Because if I place these things outside, for example, and let's show these again, then also the dates of our pages would be gone. If I put this in again, like this, so my published dates are still here, but only for the content type of event, thanks to this matching, these parts are gone on this specific page for the events. And then I took the other date time field, which I used for the party hardy date, this one, which Orchard somewhere used to drop over here in the beginning. I just put it in the content and then in the zone before, so just the zone before the usual content, and then in position 3. The first time that I saw this was a bit strange, because you have the zone, for example, over here, let's go to the dashboard. And let's switch, for example, here to the... this is the current team, so okay, I should be able to see here on the widgets. So can everyone see this image clearly? Otherwise, I think I have it, should be here too. Okay, let's zoom in. So this is where the content is. And actually, when I was fiddling with my content, with my placement info file, I was expecting that I should name here before content. And after some fiddling around, I found out that it should be like content, double colon, before, and then only the position. So that's just a tip that I give you, because, well, it took me a bit, like, and then I searched the documents. Always read the documentation first. Yes, Chris, we always do that. Not it. Okay. We're doing great here. I showed you the modules, I showed you layers, I showed you zones. Let me see if I could... something else. We did some modules, and we used the designer files. We created some blocks, so that was pretty cool. And now let's go back to the slides. So we talked about modules. There's a huge gallery going on, hundreds of pre-made modules already available. It's pretty easy to create your own, thanks to the code generation tool. I create a very small and very simple module. But of course, if you want to go into module development, first read the documentation. There are several pages about it, so I really that you want to go and read that. But the most of the things that you learn is actually from taking a look at other open source modules. There are some really cool modules out there, which, well, takes a bit of time to really delve into, but it really pays off in the end, because really everything is customizable. You can create new admin teams, you can create new parts into the permissions, you can create new tabs, you can, well, everything is possible practically in Orchard, so pretty cool stuff. So what I want to give you for today is Orchard is a cool CMS, it's growing up really fast. Only in January the first version got out. And now we're already at version 1.3, so it's really in a progressive rate that everyone starts to release things. There's a huge ecosystem. In January, we only had 14 modules, and around now, there's already several hundreds. there are teams. I was really amazed to see the Mango team from yesterday being uploaded, so really love that one. You can also create translations. I already started with the Dutch one, but personally I like the English implementation of Orchard a bit more, so I kind of sidetracked on that one. Best of all is you can contribute on your own. Start creating recipes, start creating themes, start creating modules, especially modules, and please share them. There's also a mailing list. Also the people from Microsoft involved are very busy on that, but especially on the forums. The forums are really very good help and really good backup from other people. So I think there are about like 15 or 20 people constantly contributing, new modules, really active. There's a really big community coming up over there.